Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the IoT for All podcast on the IoT for All Media Network. I'm your host, Ryan Chacone, one of the co-creators of IoT for All. Now, before we jump into this episode, please don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform or join our newsletter at iotforall.com/newsletter to catch all the newest episodes as soon as they come out. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode of the IoT for All podcast. Welcome, Rick, to the IoT for All show. How are things going?
Hey, it's going great. We're getting ready for fall. I don't know if I'm ready for that after this summer, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's last night was the first night it felt like fall for me. I was outside and it just all of a sudden got really chilly. Had to, you know, put a jacket on. Haven't had to put a long sleeves or pants on in months. So it's definitely starting now.
Indeed. Same here. We had temperatures around 52 Celsius or around 10 or so 52 Fahrenheit, around 10, 12 Celsius. It was like, ooh, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
Yeah. Well, that's I like the fall a lot, but, you know, the evenings when it gets dark early, that's not my favorite part of the fall.
Indeed.
But yeah, so it's great to have you. I wanted to start off by having you just give a quick introduction, kind of background experience, anything things relevant for our audience so they can get a better sense of who they're listening to.
Yeah, happy to, Ryan. So my name is Rick Vanover. I'm Senior Director of Product Strategy at Veeam, and that's a kind of a funky title, but I like to say we're evangelists, right? My team, we like to go out and take our story to the market. Mm-hmm. Veeam is a leading provider of backup solutions, and I'm based in Central Ohio, and I work on a global team, and Veeam is, I don't know, 12, 14 years old now, with a backup product in the market for 12 years. And, you know, we've been a very successful company, and we're, you know, helping people protect data.
How many people are over there?
Well, the company worldwide is well over 4,000 people. And I'll emphasize the worldwide part. Veeam is a very global company. That's one thing that was kind of interesting for me. We have a lot of people. In fact, on my team, I have more people in Europe than I do in the Americas. So a very global company. And that's one thing that a lot of software companies don't usually start out that way. We were, you know, founders were from Europe and the like, whereas a lot of times Northern California is the cradle of modern technology, right? But, Veeam's a little different in how it came to market in that regard.
Gotcha. Okay. And, so if you were to kind of describe what Veeam does in a little bit more detail and how it connects to the IoT space, how would you do that for our audience?
Yeah, it's backup. I'll be real simple. One word, backup of data. And when you think about IoT, the edge, modern application, and more specifically infrastructure and application service deployments, there is data we care about at the edge. And I look at Veeam as being a provider of tools to help organizations protect that. And it quickly drifts, Ryan, to the art of the possible, because I think about our backup products. They have these intended use cases, you know, like the computer I'm talking to you on, or the Linux server in the corner. But the other extensible engines and APIs we have, that opens up a whole bunch of possibilities for people to do things around protecting IoT data, edge data use cases like that.
So when we talk about IoT solutions and putting them together, backing up data is often not something we talk too much about. Do you think the industry kind of views it as just a given nowadays, since we've been obviously doing this on a personal level for years, backing up our phones, backing up our computers. But when it comes to a solution like an IoT solution, which is very much built around the data being the valuable piece of it, how often are you finding that companies are maybe not thinking enough, or maybe kind of just taking for granted the ability to back up and secure their data?
I'd say most of the time, Ryan, it's a huge oversight. I'll be completely transparent. That's why I'm kind of going out into this IT community to try to get the word out, because I'm convinced even as simple as log files, because, you know, work backwards into what happened. If you've ever deployed an IoT solution, you know that it's very specific around your business use case. And then there's some economics that are built around it. And what happens is if something goes wrong, it could put the whole ROI in jeopardy, and the data can be the saving grace there. So, and that's a very broad statement for a technology space that ends up with a very specific set of criteria for an organization's deployment. So it's hard to give examples with specifics, but everyone agrees we care about the data. So I've been out there trying to advocate that, you know, think of an IoT solution that you have in your organization. Where is the, we like to use the phrase a data lake. Where is the data that you care about? How do we protect it? How do we manage it? Do you even have visibility into it? And I go into use cases where I provide these tools that can help people answer some of those questions. Right.
So when you're talking, let's talk through a little bit about like general customer engagements and how you work with organizations that are, you know, use your products and offerings. Are they coming to you with an IoT solution kind of already built, or is this something that is they're usually coming to you during the ideation phase, and maybe they have a hardware partner, they have a connectivity partner, they have a, you know, they already know where the software and the application layer, how that's going to operate, what that's going to look like. And then they're kind of just plugging you into that, or what stage do most customers in the IoT space kind of come to you and engage your services?
Well, we sometimes have door number two of the scenarios that you identified. And that's when it gets a little bit lucky on our side, because we can get involved right. a little bit ahead of time. But the reality is, we walk into door number three most of the time, which is something's deployed, and then some decision maker, some other member of a technology service side right. kind of says, hey, that looks important. Maybe there's data we care about, or maybe some regulatory bits come into play and things like that, compliance. But the reality is, a lot of times the deployments are very specific to lines of business of an organization. They're really solving business problems. Consequentially, the IoT technology deployments would help do that. And the IT groups historically are on the outside looking in to an extent. So I do see ourselves in door number three, but the reality is we have the opportunity to come in and be the hero and provide the tools that can right. scrape up even a minimum viable amount of data to protect what might need to be protected. Because I have to be really aware that backup software sure. is not going to accommodate failed devices. You know, replacing devices is going to help there. So it really comes to be a laser focused discussion on where's the data that matters, how do we get it, or even a first question of do you need it? You know, so that's how we kind of converse around door number three.
And from a customer perspective, are there certain industries or customer type sizes and so forth that you all focus on?
I found that a lot of common deployments across industries are around some of the Wi-Fi deployments for, you know, managed network access across different sites. I've seen some use cases there. I've seen organizations look at some configuration data around surveillance systems and things like that. So they don't really fall into a specific vertical. I'd love to have a backup of the smart cow or IoT connected cow from a dairy industry. I'd love to have, you know, a backup profile of that data, but I haven't quite had those opportunities yet. So, but that's actually really consistent with what we do at Veeam, in that we don't really fall into any specific vertical segment, okay. geo, et cetera. So we have this kind of agnostic, almost to our own fault view of, you know, we can find a fit anywhere.
Right, right. So now when it comes to building solutions or utilizing Veeam software to kind of meet the needs of customers, oftentimes the solution requires kind of a unique approach, right? For the customer, for the use case, you name it. How are you all approaching this, and kind of how is your software and products kind of adaptable to the unique nature of IoT solutions as it does compare to other solutions that are not in the IoT world?
This is a very interesting question, Ryan, because anyone who's familiar with Veeam knows that we have a phrase that's somewhere in my office. I've got a poster that we used to say, it just works. And the logic is Veeam software can deploy very consistently to different environments. Even those environments may be very different. The complete opposite is true in the IoT space. There's very few exactly the same consistent deployments. It's a very fragmented industry, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. A lot of homegrown solutions, you know, some good vendor motion, some good solution motion, but there's just a lot of inconsistency. Okay. So what I tell people is find the data and then find a way to get Veeam to protect it. And I've seen sometimes there's these like intermediary situations. One example I'll share with you, I spoke with one individual that really wanted log files from this ARM powered device. And what they ended up doing was creating a script that sent it from the ARM power device to a regular Linux system. Boom, Veeam backed it up. We had the data that they needed. So, you know, those are examples. Our file backup engine, our Linux engines, you know, of course, Windows and virtual machines are really easy for Veeam. But when you talk about the edge, that's when your dependence on traditional infrastructure becomes exponentially less. So things like file backup engines and interacting with, you know, even just a powerful PC or NAS devices, those types of putting things together, that's the art of the possible, I like to say. That's where you can walk into having that data control in the edge for these types of deployments.
So when you engage with customers, how often are you seeing them aware of the importance of collecting data and interacting with their data at the edge, just in a, from a general sense? Or is it something that you all do a lot of educating on to try to maybe push them in one direction versus, you know, having the data go all the way to the cloud and interacting with it and being able to back it up and kind of control it there? What are you seeing out in the market from your guys' point of view?
Well, we see a little bit of action through both door number one and door number two there. And the higher level discussion is, it kind of depends on the organization. Example, a retail org, actually traditional retail, I'm sure, is going through a lot of change right now, but let's at least say traditional retail from a year ago. If you think about stores and things like that, there's actually a lot of automation that goes in to those types of deployments. In fact, there's one organization in Australia that Veeam's supported a deployment of over 2,700 sites for, you know, in a resiliency solution for those environments. But when it comes to the IoT compartment or departments and solutions, we have to walk in and kind of put that in usually after the fact. And, oh, by the way, I need to protect this too. And sometimes there's a lot of discussion, like, how do I get to it? What is it? What do we care about? And then you have to go sideways and talk to the app teams or the business unit. But what I've always found is that we have to advocate on the Veeam side that this is a protection you can do. And it honestly is, in many cases, not going to cost you anything extra, which is actually very refreshing in today's world, because we're not talking about a lot of data. Let's take that example of they needed log files from a access point controller or something. I can't remember the exact thing. It's not big. So there's not a lot of infrastructure requirement. That's basically zero cost within Veeam to protect that much more data. So what we find is that organizations just have to do the work to have that extra level of compliance and resiliency that they may need. And the reality is, Ryan, I don't know if organizations know if they need these types of things yet. You know, have they had an audit or some sort of business incident that, you know, when you peel through all the layers of the onion, you get to this edge and you can't answer the question of what happened. You know, that's what I'm trying to avoid. So I'm trying to provide, hey, here's an element of control for the data you have in these extra areas. And we have a lot of things going for us to help us. We've got 5G, we've got technologies that make it easy for us to send data over the internet with things that are better than VPNs now. So there's a lot in our favor to have some control over the edge, but it a lot of times is an educational discussion for sure.
Speaking of 5G, kind of what are your thoughts on 5G and its role it's going to play in IoT? I mean, obviously with IoT, a big component of building the correct solution for a use case is the connectivity piece. And 5G oftentimes is not required, or it's, you know, kind of overdone for the use case. You know, it's too fast, it's not necessary because based on the cost that it's associated with it, when you could do something kind of more like an LPWAN type deployment. So what are you guys seeing from a connectivity kind of vantage point, as far as, are a lot of the customers coming to you are more on the cellular side, more looking into 5G? And then on top of that, like, how do you see 5G kind of playing out as it relates to the work you all do?
So I don't see 5G technologies directly impacting like Veeam's business and Veeam's deployments just yet. However, I am convinced, and in fact, at home, I just moved over to a 5G offering. I'm not getting my home internet through a LAN solution at all now, and I love it. So I'm personally on board with this, and I'm convinced what I just did at home, we're going to see in other applications as well. We're going to see low-end NAS devices with this. We're going to see laptops. We're going to see all kinds of devices. And from my side, if I make the connect from the Veeam side, if I have the connectivity completely democratized, I have complete control of the data in a sense where I can move things where I didn't move them before. This, it almost feels a lot like when, you know, traditional WAN acceleration came to the market a number of years or decades ago. So it's like, wow, I can actually make the network do more than it actually can do. And that's the best analogy I can come up with, where everything from, you know, rich media is probably going to benefit most, surveillance, right? So that's one that probably isn't going to complain it's too much type of bandwidth. But if I have a need where I need to protect that, well, then now I've got the plumbing to do it, right? But we have to also be weary. One of the biggest things I love about this space is the opportunity, but I also have to concurrently 100% of the time be weary about, you know, the details around certificates and their security and that they don't expire and things like that. Because then, back to my earlier comment, we run the risk of one key failure puts the entire ROI of these types of projects at risk. So it's a cautious optimism, but I'm very excited for the 5G innovations that will come to devices connectivity and the ability to introduce new flavors, lack of a better word, of the art of the possible to pick up data at the edge and other locations and protect it, manage it. And then once you do that, that's your first step, protecting and managing. But then you can get into some very advanced use cases around analyzing it, reusing the data, simulations, business analytics, machine learning. Imagine that if we could scrape the edge and throw it into the cloud for deeper analytics. Now that's me being, you know, thought leader at that point, but I think the 5G innovation that's coming to the space is going to be very critical for those types of applications going into the future.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Now, as we kind of talk more about the cloud-based approach for solutions in the IoT space, can you talk to me as to why, or maybe how, a cloud-based solution or cloud-based approach can protect IoT solutions and really set up the organization who's deploying it for success and just continued innovation as they, you know, expand on the IoT solution, they scale the IoT solution itself?
Well, I'll give you two answers to that. One is yes cloud, one is no cloud, and I'll kind of defend either angle. And the end result will make it make sense at the end. So let's go pro cloud first. The cloud is 100% the natural choice to deploy IoT solutions. The connectivity is unparalleled, multi-region availability, elastic consumption and scale. So much easier to do on-prem, especially with net new native technologies that are provided to you today that may not have been there yesterday, aka may not have been room on-prem. Okay. So the cloud is a natural choice. That being said, I spoke to a large organization who makes devices that we all know about that are not like smart devices, but just say devices. I don't want to just, you know, blow their industry. But basically, they actually repatriated the whole deployment back on-prem because the cloud economics came to bite them. So that's my advice. Yes, the cloud's a natural choice, but go into it with a very deliberate cloud economics consideration. What happened with this deployment, this was an IoT deployment for a smart type of device that we all know about these types of systems, at least in North America, but cloud egress economics were making it unpractical, uneconomical for them. So they moved it back on-prem. So my caution here is know thy app. Know what is going to happen with these deployments, especially in the homegrown, home-built arena. Couple that with data, like, because here I'm talking about protecting data at the edge, finding your use case. You could walk into the same type of economic situation where maybe just backing it up introduces some egress or introduces some other type of behavior that could completely change the cost profile in the cloud. that's an important caution when it comes to selecting, yes, I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm going to protect it this way. Yes, I'm going to analyze it this way. All of those in the cloud have economic characteristics. So generally I'm leaning cloud, but a little caution to the economics.
Okay. And how do you think, how can companies kind of best evaluate that when they're going into the planning phase of an IoT solution?
Well, I think proof of concepts in all situations are the way to go. I think driving it with business solution first is very important. This should be kind of a joint effort from, you know, people in the business, a business unit that are out there to try to solve a specific problem, coupled with expertise in the cloud, expertise with, I hate to use the word traditional IT, but internal IT teams, so that they can think about the data that may be important. They can think about, well, maybe I don't need all of this data, but I need that log, for example, and log files may just be enough from a compliance standpoint. So I think that this type of discussion across personas and organizations today needs to 100% be an us conversation. What I don't want to see is, if you go back 15 years ago or so, in fact, even my own experience, I was with a part of a business that made their own mobile app outside of internal right. IT. Very us versus them type of thing. And, you know, that was something that ended up positively changing our business, but you don't want to be in a us versus them standpoint. So, you know, go in it together, go in it up and top down. So I think that collaboration is more important than ever to predicate success for these types of projects. With a small POC, expand the economics, don't commit to a platform, you know, maybe do multiple platform and model type POCs. But those are just a couple of pieces of advice off the top of my head.
That's great. One of the last questions I want to ask you before we wrap up here is, you know, we have a very wide range audience kind of listening to this podcast, and a lot of them work in kind of not just IoT, but they, you know, they have a background in IT. They've, you know, worked in different technology spaces. But if you were to kind of talk directly to them and explain to them why the time is now for IT decision makers to ensure the cloud is part of the IoT solution, what would that reasoning be, and kind of what would be your advice there?
Well, the main piece of advice I would give along those lines is, you know, have that control plane, have the data you want protected. I think that's my most important piece of advice here, is to, you know, look at an IoT deployment that may benefit your business, and then ask yourself the question, how does this impact an audit that I may go through? How does this impact business continuity or disaster recovery? Or what in here is actually sensitive and critical that it might not even be a standard I know about, but do I need to protect it? So ask those types of questions, and then apply it to the platform, apply it to cloud, apply it to the 5G deployment, apply it to, maybe it's hybrid on premises, maybe it's kind of smart building, you know, apply it to where we're going to put these technologies. And then, just like any other service deployed in an organization, what type of controls and management do I need for that system and data? Because a lot of times the platforms may change, but the rules on data and the rules of governance don't.
Okay. That's great advice. I appreciate that. Now, one of the last things I wanted to ask you here is just kind of going back to Veeam and what you all have going on. It sounded like there was a lot of very interesting things you have going on over at the company, kind of upcoming. And I'd love for you to kind of just shed some light on anything that our audience should be on the lookout for and kind of be paying attention to in the coming months.
Yeah. Well, couple of things. First of all, Veeam, if you've not heard of us, go on over to veeam.com, VEEAM.com. And, you know, a great place to start is some of our free products. We have a free backup product for Windows PCs, Linux PCs, servers, virtual machines, cloud-based workloads, Office 365 workloads, soon to be Mac OS backups as well. And, you know, start with backing up something, backing up file shares and that type of stuff. And we have a very large event coming up on the 20th of October, veeamlive.com. It's going to be a free full day event. I encourage everyone to sign up for that. And that's actually a really good way to just get introduced to us. We're going to have our CTO give some overview of the company with a keystone or like a really prominent customer is going to share their story as well. So if you're looking to do more with your data, more with backups, just go on over to Veeam.com.
Fantastic. And if anybody kind of is listening, has questions, or wants to follow up with you about kind of more what's going on with the company aside from going to Veeam.com, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, Twitter for me, at Rick Vanover. And just at Rick Vanover, I'll respond to most things, get you an answer, take it to a DM when it makes sense. But I'm rather responsive there.
Fantastic. Well, Rick, it's been a great conversation. You know, we don't get to talk to companies like Veeam too often. We haven't had that many on the show. And I think it's a very important kind of area of discussion. Something that you mentioned as we kind of started this conversation is often overlooked, but it's critical because companies are paying for this data. That data is what they're, you know, the value they're truly getting out of an IoT solution that is helping their company run more efficiently, be more effective as an organization. And that's kind of where the ROI really comes in. And that's what's going to help the adoption of IoT grow. So anything you can do to kind of help secure the data, back the data up, and, you know, so that they can utilize it whenever they need it is fantastic. And I think what you guys have going on over at Veeam is amazing. So thanks again for your time and your advice. And I think our audience is really going to enjoy this.
My pleasure.
All right, everyone. Thanks again for joining us this week on the IoT for All podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave us a rating or review and be sure to subscribe to our podcast on whichever platform you're listening to us on. Also, if you have a guest you'd like to see on the show, please drop us a note at ryan@iotforall.com and we'll do everything we can to get them as a featured guest. Other than that, thanks again for listening and we'll see you next time.